This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to the fire.
Welcome to the fire, boys. My name is Parker McDonald.
And I'm Walter Lee, and we'll be your hosts on this episode of the Southern Collective Hunting Podcast. If you're a new hunter trying to learn the basics,
or you're a veteran woodsman just trying to get through your workday, there's always a place at our campfire for you.
Speaking of the fire, we would love it if you guys would join our growing Patreon community and be a part of the best and only digital deer camp south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Come on. If you'd like to learn more, click on the link in the show notes. But for now, Walt,
welcome to the fire.
Welcome back to another episode of From the Fire, here from the Southern Collective. I'm Matthew Reeves, one of the members of SoCo. Y'all have heard from me a couple times on these From the Fire chats about my expectations. And we dropped one a couple weeks ago that was just a regular podcast. And we talked about what we were expecting from our upcoming season, whether it be in our home state, out of state, and whatnot. Doing a lot of things with that. So I made a bold prediction for myself. We kind of did another round of bold predictions that I had a lot of confidence that I was going to kill one of my target bucks this opening weekend, opening week of the season, just due to the moon phase. I had kind of patterned a buck to be moving a lot during this time. And the opener was going to fall right when I needed him to move most and when he was moving the most. So, anyways, this spot, I've started getting a lot of more people on my trail camera. The last three or so years, I haven't had anybody on my cameras, which that's just part of hunting public land. You're going to have people show up on your cameras. You know, it's not, quote-unquote, your spot, even though we sometimes feel it. And that's kind of how I felt with this spot. You know, I'd found it, kind of had it secluded to myself, but had some people show up and whatnot, and that story gets a little bit better after this hunt. But I was not able to hunt how I thought I was going to be able to hunt for the opener. Just some things came up and whatnot, so I was able to get in a morning sit, kind of played it right. My wind was good. Got in there, bumped a couple deer coming in. Walking in, I saw a bunch of cat eyes where, you know, people put them up to mark their tree. Never seen them before. The people that were in there scouting or whatnot, I reckon they put them up and had it marked going right to their tree. So, you know, I'm like discouraged because, you know, somebody's now, you know, hunting in here, hunting in this spot I found. You know, I'm going to have to kind of share it, beat them there, whatnot. So, anyways, these bucks have been coming through, and one morning I decided not to hunt, and a pretty nice buck came through at like 9:30, so I knew I needed to get in there. So, I was able to get in there, got in clean, got in quiet, but the tree I got in, it just wasn't, when the sun came up, y'all know how the story goes, you know, it wasn't what you thought. You're too close to the trail, too far from the trail, just was kind of rough. So I was like, man, my back's facing where I think the deer are going to come from. You know, it just wasn't panning out perfect for me. So the hunt goes on, squirrels, chipmunks running everywhere, keeping me on my toes. But around 9-ish, 9:20, I heard some stuff kind of in the bottom. Ended up looking out in front of me and caught some movement. So I'm looking through my binos, trying to see what's going on. And I can barely see over this little crest, and I catch some antlers. I'm like, hey, that looks like a decent buck. Well, sit there, you know, a minute goes by, he disappears. Well, then he comes back, and he's at about 50 yards, and I'm watching him. I'm like, hey, he's just standing there. He's going to walk right down this trail to me. Well, the joker stops up against this wall that I'm hunting and beds down. Beds down at 50 yards with some thick stuff between me and him, and just lays there, lays down. So I'm like, man, this is a, you know, really nice buck. Well, the more I get to looking at this buck, I recognize him. So 3 years ago, I was hunting the same spot during the rut and watched this buck come in. I actually made a video on it, have some really good footage. I called him the clubfoot buck because he had a abscessed or something on his hoof, front hoof, and he was really limping around. That morning I ended up watching him breed a doe that season, all that stuff. Well, this deer has been elusive for the last 3 years. In 3 years I've had two pictures of him, and they were in just two seasons ago. So no whereabouts of where he was last year or anything. And then don't even have a picture of him this year. I thought it may have been the big G3 buck, but it wasn't. It was the clubfoot buck. So I'm watching him, his brow tines, you know, 9, 10 inches, just a stud of a buck. So I'm telling myself, well, I just got to sit here till he gets out of his bed and makes a move. Whether it's to me or not, I'm just going to sit here, see what he does. So I'm sitting there, about 10 minutes go by, here, another deer coming. Well, I look down, and it's a good 8-point. 8-point I would shoot. And I've never been in a situation where I've got a really big buck bedded at 50 yards, a really nice buck at, say, 80 yards probably. And I was like, well, if this buck comes up the trail, am I going to shoot him? Well, I told myself no because of the big buck that was sitting there. So ended up having another spike come by, and that 8-point, he ended up going down to the bottom, so I didn't have to worry about the thought of shooting him, which I can't wrap my mind around it because I've never been in that situation in general of, hey, here comes a nice buck. If he gives me an opportunity, am I going to take him, or am I going to chance it on this bigger buck? So I'm sitting there. I kind of got the tree between me and the other deer from my saddle. Really like that. So I'm videoing him when I can. He's just sitting there looking. Well, this deer's a 6-7-year-old buck. And I've never had the opportunity to just watch a 6-7-year-old buck bed down and kind of how he does his routine. I've seen some younger bucks go down, they'll tuck their head down, you know, go to sleep, yada, yada, yada. But this buck in particular, he just sat there and he looked. He just scanned every direction he had. Didn't have to worry about looking at anything to his back. Everything was in front of him. He was just looking in front. So I'm dropping milkweed to make sure my thermals don't shift as the sun, you know, comes up and hits this hillside. So he's just chilling there. Well, the more I watch him, the bigger he gets. Y'all know that how that goes. And so I'm sitting there and just waiting. So he lays there for about an hour. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if he caught movement of me there just in the hour. I mean, if you sat somewhere for an hour and just scanned every single tree, you probably will see a hunter. And I think he ended up seeing me, because I know he didn't smell me because of how the thermals and the wind was blowing. So I think he ended up seeing me, and I look at him. The last time I looked at him, I looked at my binoculars and saw him, and he was looking right in my direction. Couldn't see if he was looking up at me or what, but anyways, the deer blows, gets up, runs, blows, and then gets out of there. So I'm frustrated. 50 yards, if I had an opening, you know, if he would have been somewhere I could have got a shot, I would have taken the shot. I feel comfortable shooting 50 yards and practiced it. But anyway, so I'm like, shoot, well, I'm like, I'm going to get down, you know, they blew out of here, got done. So I get down, and I'm headed back to the truck. Well, I'm walking where the night eyes were, and I'm thinking to myself, man, there's got to be a camera or something in here from these people. If they're putting out night eyes, putting, you know, time in to make sure they can get to their tree, got to be something. So I'm walking. Well, I have a camera in there that, you know, I've had pictures of people, yada, yada. And I look to my right, and there is a corn pile. Now, y'all, this is public land. You can't put corn on public. That's a known deal. So I'm like, well, there's got to be a camera looking over this corn pile. I'm pretty good at spotting cameras. Well, I didn't spot this one very good. It was at eye level, or not even eye level, about waist level. And looking at the corn cell camera, I'm pretty sure it took my picture. So I go through the steps, call the game warden. They actually had already known about it. I was able to send them some information of who, you know, I think might be on the camera, stuff like that. But from knowing there's a big buck there to then knowing somebody's put corn outside of the area I'm hunting, it really just kind of threw me for a loop. Made me kind of mad, because now I'm not going to go in there because there's corn there. It's kind of a tainted area now. I'm just leaving it alone. Granted, I am going out of town this weekend and won't be back, so can't really hunt it right now. But just to know that's going on right there kind of really, really bothered me. So hopefully we can get some closure on that, get those guys, you know, caught out of the area. I don't know. So that was very unfortunate, but I ended up going about my day, and 12:45 rolls around, two more bucks come through the spot I'm hunting. You know, I can't sit there all day. I had things I had to get done, but really kind of messed with me. So with all that being said, I had a great hunt, got really close to a really nice buck on my first morning hunt. I actually have history with the deer. And this is a deer that has not showed up on camera in two and a half years. And when he does show up on camera, it's like one photo. And he may know the last picture I had, it looked like he was looking right at my camera. He may know my camera's there giving off signals. But he was bedded 50, 60 yards from the camera. And he could have been doing this over and over again. But the deer were on their feet that morning. They were moving around. It was very encouraging to know that there's deer there that I don't have on camera. You know, a lot of times we get caught up because a deer didn't come in the 20-yard radius of a cell camera, or 40-yard radius, whatever you want to say it is. But to go in there and see those deer, that amount of deer, on the first hunt in there of the year was very encouraging. You know, bow hunting is a hard sport. You got to get them close. You got to have everything go right. If I had a rifle, that hunt would have been done, you know, within the first 10 minutes of me seeing that deer. I shot him right there in his bed, game over, didn't have to worry about anything. But it's not gun season, and you got to hunt with a bow out there. That's just part of it. But anyways, that's kind of how my first, you know, I'd say successful hunt of the season went here in Alabama. And I plan to get back in there on that deer, and the other deer's there. He didn't get boogered. But that buck, I was talking to somebody, they were like, oh, he'll probably be out of there for a while. And I question that because that bed did exactly what that buck needed it to. It protected him. And when he saw danger, he was able to get out of there. He was safe. So I think he's going to actually come back to that bed at some point. I don't know. First time I've seen him bed right there, I've had some suspicions of them bedding on down the hillside a little bit. But was able to see that, confirm that information, and use that for later in the hunts. But until then, I'm going to continue to scout and get my places ready here. I haven't done any private land sits. Don't even have any private land ready right now. I usually plant greenfields. Didn't plant greenfields this year. Just a lot going on in life. Y'all know how that goes. It gets away from you. You get behind. But anyways, we're going to keep hunting this spot. Maybe a couple weeks before we get back in there. I kind of want everything to kind of clear up with the poachers and kind of get a clean slate in there. But guys, I appreciate y'all listening to this, and y'all continue to hunt hard and continue to move in your season. I know a lot of seasons are just, you know, in the first couple weeks, and some are already, you know, further along than that. But don't get discouraged about little things. I got discouraged about some little things, but I know there's still bucks in there, and I've got to continue hunting. I've got to continue pushing forward for these deer. But guys, like I said just a second ago, thanks for listening. Y'all be good and stay safe.